and welcome to Series 1, Episode 4 of the Tech Means Business podcast. This is a series of conversations where we look at the places where technology has had a serious impact on the way that businesses and organisations work and how tech companies operate. Throughout this series, I'll be talking to interesting people from companies and verticals that have something to contribute, really, to this area. People with interesting viewpoints, different business models, innovative approaches, and individuals that, well, let's be honest, I want to talk to. Now, as a bona fide geek, I've always been interested in, have spent the majority of my time, recently at least, in the open source world. And so I've always been interested in how open source can monetize, if indeed an open source project needs to monetize at all. Now, one such company with a successful business that's built on an open source platform is EnterpriseDB. This is a company that provides Postgres or PostgreSQL databases at enterprise level. Postgres is, as you may know, a relational database, that's getting increasingly popular in the business community. And it's got plenty of advantages and features over other options and competitors, which no doubt we'll discuss with my guest today. Mark Linster of EnterpriseDB, that's Mark with a C as opposed to a K. Welcome to Tech Means Business. Perhaps you'd tell us a little bit about the business and yourself.
I'm in charge of the product development. I've been here for quite a few years. The focus is on developing products that strengthen the use of Postgres in the enterprise and allow customers to take advantage of this great open source database for highly available, highly reliable enterprise-level applications.
Thanks, Mark. I guess the root one question is price. Open source, the software's free, isn't it? So is that the thing that attracts people to open source software, or is there more to it than just the little ticket with a dollar sign in front of the figures?
Absolutely. The cost plays a key role. So when people come from large commercial offerings, and I'm not going to name them here, they're obviously very, very interested by something that should cost a lot less. But very quickly do they understand that they can't really get all the value and all the mileage out of this free product because they don't have the support, they don't have the backstop, but also they can't influence the roadmap. And then maybe the last thing is, there's a whole lot of tooling and environments that are not available in Postgres, right? When we talk about Postgres, yes, we mean the open source and with that free database. But if you want to use this database in something that is mission critical, meaning it has to be available with four nines or five nines of availability, and that means you really, really need to have somebody who's going to be with you, a true expert, in case something bad happens. Now, Postgres is very stable, very, very reliable, but every once in a while, something bad happens. Sometimes that's an operator error. Sometimes it's something bad that happened in the environment. But every once in a while, it can be a bug in Postgres too. And open source companies or companies that use open source very quickly find out that they can only push the envelope so far without having that backstop. And that's the number one thing that customers value about having a commercial partner who helps them take advantage of open source so that they can say, yeah, four nines, even five nine availability, I can do that because I have somebody who's going to have an engineer on the phone working with me in 15 minutes or less. And without that, you just cannot go so far. You can only go into environments where 2 or maybe 3 days of downtime is acceptable, maybe not great, but acceptable. And that really, really limits the value you can get from open source. And this is very similar to companies using Red Hat for Linux. Linux is free and open source, but most enterprise users want to make sure that they have a partner that just in case they can call them. And then, as I said before, a very important element is all the things around Postgres, all the tooling for high availability, for monitoring, integration of Postgres with Oracle and SQL Server, backup recovery, all the things that are not, they're not part of core Postgres. But when we think about the enterprise, they're They're absolutely essential. You cannot go forward and use Postgres at scale if you can't do monitoring at scale. And with that, for example, management by exception. If you only have one or two databases, you can monitor them by hand. That's easy. You write yourself a little cron job and you ping the database every few minutes. And as long as everything's answering, everything's good. But as soon as you have 50, 100, 200, or like some of our customers, over 1,000 Postgres databases, that does not work anymore. Now, Enterprise DB does not own the Postgres roadmap, but Enterprise DB can work with our customers on getting new features into Postgres. We can do that in PostgresQL, the open source version, where we participate significantly in the development, or we can do it in Postgres Advanced Server, which is our proprietary fork of Postgres that we use for Oracle compatibility and other requirements that we get from customers that for one reason or the other can't make it into the open source community.
Yeah, you've mentioned there the Enterprise DB fork of Postgres and also some of the advantages that, you know, having these add-ons offers companies and organizations. But what I want to do really is kind of pare some of that away and talk about what are the advantages that Postgres itself offers over, for instance, a vanilla MySQL or some other database. I know with PostgresQL, for instance, there's the JSON element and there's the document store. Perhaps you could touch on some of these particular features.
Well, one of the fantastic things that Mike Stonebreaker, who was at the origins of Postgres when he initially developed this at Berkeley in the university environment, one of the great things that he did at that time was to create the ability to have different data types. Now, that sounds very geeky, but in the things that you just listed, JSONB, the document data type, PostGIS, which is really geographic information system and geographic coordinates and calculations about geographic coordinates. So, like, am I within the lines of this town, right? Then data types like a range data type that makes it very, very easy to deal with complex situations like hotel bookings. Data types for IP address calculation. So there's a range of innovation that has been driven out of this fundamental decision that Mike Stonebreaker, who by the way is an advisor to Enterprise DB still today, has taken over 30 years ago. And that's a fundamental element that drives innovation. And so a lot of users come to Postgres because they're repulsed by the behavior of many commercial providers. They're attracted by the low cost, and then they fall in love with the innovation capabilities. And that's really where we see Postgres go today, with a very, very strong model for the usual relational workloads, but then extend it with GIS for, you know, at the heart of mobile applications is that you know where you are and how far away are you from the next store, from the next bank, from the next swimming pool, how long is it going to take for this package to get to you? And then great flexibility that we have with the document model, which is a great tool to do personalization, a great tool to do website development.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning at this point a couple of the key differences between proprietary software and an open source product that's developed by a community of developers and contributors. I guess the first one is that open source software is peer reviewed, often by, you know, a large number of people, maybe 1,000 or 5,000 developers, and so therefore it's usually of particularly good quality. And of course, that second key difference is that it's being developed by this large number of people. And so therefore, you get quite a diverse range of tools and use cases, therefore, for the software baked into it as it develops. And that all happens automatically.
That is absolutely true. In commercial environments, and I did work in commercial environments before, you have product management, product marketing, pretty much driving where things are going. And there are situations when when you develop a feature beyond what is really being used by your customers just because you're in a feature battle with a competitor. In open source, that doesn't exist because, Joe, you're absolutely right. People, but also companies, only work on the things that they actually want to have. So today, I mean, historically seen, Postgres, just like many other open source products, started with individuals spending their nights and weekends on something that they really loved. Over time, now the Postgres community has become a very strong and very diverse community with significant large companies actively contributing. I mean, today, obviously there's a lot of companies like Second Quadrant and Enterprise DB, et cetera. But then there are very large players who are also investing. And I'm just going to name two, NTT and Microsoft, for example. So, but they work on the things that they want to have. It's not driven by let's say, market calculations, market share expectations, competitive pressures, anything like that. It's people do it because they want to have it. And that creates a very, very different dynamic.
Isn't one of those things, though, that people actually want from their database platform, is that level of compatibility with maybe things that they're using at the moment? I mean, one of the things that the Enterprise DB fork of Postgres offers, for instance, is compatibility with Oracle. And anyone in business knows that Oracle are quite a dominant player, shall we say, in the database world. Do you find that people are turning to Postgres and turning to the company, Enterprise DB, almost searching for an alternative or searching for a better version of what they're already doing on Oracle?
Joe, we're getting a lot of interest from customers who come from large commercial database providers, among others Oracle, because they are they have the largest market share. Companies are attracted by the fact that now Postgres can keep up in terms of TPS, so transactions per second, in terms of stability. It's getting very, very close to what you can do with Oracle, even at the high end. In terms of manageability, now there are the right tools for high availability, et cetera. So what's interesting is there's a large interest of moving to open source, but at the same time, moving to means you don't want to leave everything behind. And we've made this large investment in what we call compatibility with Oracle to make that easier. This compatibility with Oracle comes in multiple flavors. On the one side, there are tools that behave like Oracle. And that's not necessarily because we want to be exactly like Oracle. It's because the market has shaped what Oracle looks like today. Oracle Enterprise Manager is there for a very good reason, because you do need exception-based management. You do need a single pane of glass into your estate. Well, we have learned from that, and we've created Postgres Enterprise Manager. Obviously, under the hood, it's completely different because it works against a different database, et cetera. But the notion of having to do management at scale and providing a single pane of glass into your database estate and providing management by exception, all of those things are there. As far as other elements go, it's functionalities and capabilities that have been developed over time where we say, based on our customer input, where we say, hey, we need to have something similar in Postgres. And it should work the way it does in Oracle, even though under the hood, obviously, it's completely different because it's a different engine, et cetera. But it has to meet the same business requirements.
Yes, that comparability, I think, is a really good selling point. And it segues really quite neatly into something I wanted to talk about, which is the whole issue of selling technology and software in general. Obviously, that's too large a subject really to go into here. We'd need 4 or 5 hours, probably, or 4 or 5 days. But how do you sell what's a, really a fiercely technical subject and quite a, you know, a technical platform to people who might hold the purse strings, for instance, in an organisation that don't actually hold PhDs in computer science.
It's the most effective in engaging with CIOs or VP of database infrastructure is helping them understand that we've been in this business for over 15 years. Some of us have been CIOs before. So we understand that any kind of change, anything new in the enterprise means the enterprise incurs additional risk. And a large part of what we do is we help them mitigate and manage that risk. We do understand encryption. We do understand the need for security and authentication. We do understand technical terms that really worry the DBA, like RPO and RTO, recovery point objective, recovery time objective. And we know that those are the critical components in order to move to something that is open source. Because just buying something cheaper, right, and then failing, that's what gets a CIO fired, right?
Now, Mark, you've been in with Postgres for a long time. And gradually, as a database, it's become a great deal more popular in the last few years. Now, there's no such thing really as a kind of popularity contest in terms of databases. I guess at the top is Oracle, and there's bits and bobs of SQL still kicking around, and obviously, you know, MySQL and MongoDB and MariaDB and things like that. So where would you put Postgres's market share? If you'll accept that phrase.
Okay, so Joe, market share is a bit of a tricky concept in open source, right? Because, you know, market share in the commercial sense means how much wallet share did you actually get in the market, right? And Postgres being significantly more cost effective than many of the commercial providers, you know, even if it has a larger install base, it may still have a smaller wallet share because of the cost differential. So we always have to keep that in mind. There's a tremendous cost compression that is always happening when enterprises or a market moves from closed source to open source. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the mind share inside corporate developers is just exploded. When I started Enterprise DB 7 years ago, I remember at the first Gartner CIO summit, we were evangelizing. We were fishing for people around our round tables who were using Postgres. That's no longer the case. Today, everybody's using Postgres. Postgres is all over the place. The challenge now is how can we help our enterprise customers not just use Postgres in, let's say, tier three, so non-critical applications, but help them move up the stack and get mileage out of Postgres in tier two and tier one applications. So the real mission critical stuff that is required for, you know, billing customers, shipping product, closing the books, et cetera. So the mindshare, both at the developer level and at the CIO level, has grown tremendously. At the same time, the market share has also grown, but in the open source space, you just kind of need to disconnect those two.
So for developers out there who are listening to this, I'd be quite interested in finding out what the learning curve is into Postgres, for instance. Is that difficulty of learning curve, is it down to the amount of materials that's out there? I mean, one thinks of the many thousands and thousands of pages of documentation on Oracle, for instance, and the hundreds of journals and books and books and books and books that people can use to teach themselves or teach their teams. Is Postgres a difficult one to get to terms with?
I think, Joe, you're absolutely right. And again, 5 or even 10 years ago, if you went to a bookstore, there was hardly a book about Postgres to be found, but you know, you could find half a foot or a foot of books on Oracle and SQL Server. Today, well, finding a bookstore is a bit more difficult, but the equivalent is that there are many, many publications about this now. If you go today to Stack Builder and ask questions about Postgres, you'll find reams and reams of answers. If you go to enterprisedbs.com's tutorial section, the same thing. So I think the developer learning curve is actually not such a big deal, and we see developers really, really adopting Postgres very, very quickly because it's relatively easy to use. It works like a standard SQL database, and once a developer dives in and truly understands the potential that he or she has by using the different data types and taking advantage of Postgres, they'll see that their time to solution shrinks greatly compared to MySQL, et cetera, just because there is a lot more to Postgres for the developer. Now, the other part of the learning curve is the DBA or the administrator, right? And there again, all these databases, not MySQL, but the commercial databases, most of them go back to the same origin, a seminal paper about System R written at IBM. And so for a DBA, when he or she looks at Postgres, it's very similar. There are a few fundamental differences, but they're easy to pick up. There's lots of free training classes available now. So you can get there very quickly. And in our business, we've seen a number of commercial DBAs, mostly from Oracle, who after a very, very short time, we're able to manage Postgres in production and do that without significant problems.
So, Mark, are you worried that somewhere down the line, as Postgres gets more popular, it's going to get grabbed and maybe made into some kind of proprietary platform, perhaps one with enough marketing clout behind it to make users jump ship? I mean, one thinks of MongoDB and DocumentDB on AWS, for example. I know those are allegations and not necessarily facts, but I think it's worrying for many people.
Well, there's two things there. Postgres has a very, very unique license and structure behind the community that makes it impossible for somebody to grab it, right? So something like what happened with MySQL, where it got acquired by Oracle via Sun, is impossible. The way the Postgres community is set up, this cannot happen. There's multiple barriers to this happening. Also, the license of Postgres is very different from, let's say, MySQL. In MySQL, you have a GPL license, and when you contribute something, you actually provide a license assignment to the corporation behind the product. Now that corporation can be sold or do with it whatever you want to. Postgres has, from the beginning on, strategically decided that no, we will not allow that to happen. So Postgres as an organization cannot be taken over. There are structures in place that make sure that that doesn't happen. And the license model is such that also that cannot happen. Now, the second part of the question is, what happens if a big provider such as Amazon or Azure puts it onto their platform and maybe modifies it? Well, that's actually happening, and it's not a bad thing. Because the more people get on Postgres, the more interest we have. Yeah, for the commercial providers like EnterpriseDB and others, it becomes a wee bit more competitive. But the more people pitch in to Postgres, the better it will become.
Yeah, we're just touching there, really, aren't we, on that minefield of licensing in open source and its variations. I mean, we've got the different flavors of Apache licenses. There are the GPL licenses, and then there's copyright and copyleft. And I remember speaking to FreeBSD, for instance, about the implications of their very lax and very open licensing arrangements under which FreeBSD is published. But it strikes me that in this scenario, and with Postgres and with EnterpriseDB, licensing really is, I don't know, less of an issue per se. Because it strikes me, really, what's more important here is that companies report their bugs properly, and that's And they take part in community events, and they talk to users, and they talk to developers, and there's that continuous conversation. And that companies like EnterpriseDB push their code upstream, for instance, or make as much of their code and their work freely available, or at least as freely available as they possibly can. Is that important to EnterpriseDB as a company, and is it important to you as an individual as well, Mark?
Well, it looks a little bit like a gentleman's agreement, but that is what happens. But you can see there were forks of Postgres, because Postgres is a very strong technology foundation, and the license allows that. One of the well-known forks is Greenplum, for example. They forked off, I think, at version 8.3. And then a few years ago, they've decided to come back, and they are working hard. It's a very involved proposition to come back, because of its openness and because of its collaborative nature. The open source leverage is tremendous in Postgres, right? Once a feature gets into Postgres, well, everybody who creates a new feature has to respect that old feature and make sure that the new thing works with the old thing. So if you do something proprietary outside of Postgres, and we do some of those things, like, you know, some of our compatibility with Oracle, you lose the open source momentum, right? You are now owning all the cost. And several companies that have forked off from Postgres have learned that the hard way. And many companies that fork off too far, they fail, because the cost of maintaining the software now becomes tremendous. For us, we have a managed fork throughout the year. We're a maximum of about 2 weeks behind PostgreSQL in all of our patches. We release annually with exactly the same capabilities. So we make sure that gap is as tight as possible. And imagine, as a developer, how powerful it is that you propose something, you propose a piece of code, and you literally now have 1,000 eyeballs on that. Yes, you may get some negative feedback. You may get some rather forceful feedback. But the reason why we have so little bugs, so few bugs in Postgres, why the code is so good, is because we have these hundreds, if not thousands, of eyes on the code. And if you stop participating, then now all those eyeballs have gone away, and you own all the responsibility, and you're back to a commercial software development model with all of its cost implications.
Well, thank you, Mark. Unfortunately, we're kind of getting to the end of our allotted time today. It's been absolutely fascinating to hear about PostgreSQL and EnterpriseDB as well. Now, traditionally at this point in the podcast, guests often like to talk about events they've got coming up, for instance, at conferences and the like. But unfortunately, we're putting this together at the time of the global coronavirus epidemic, and so there's no such thing as in-person events anymore. So, Mark, is there maybe something coming up in terms of software releases that you'd just like to mention here?
So in the second quarter of this year, we will launch a new replication product that is connecting Postgres instances and allows for multi-master replication, and that is going to be built on Kafka and Zookeeper.
Well, thank you again, Mark, and thanks for appearing on the Tech Means Business podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I've certainly learned a great deal. I hope our listeners have as well. I hope to speak to you soon, and hopefully when all this virus madness is over, I certainly hope to get to meet you in person. That'd be great, and thanks again.
Yes, me too. It was a very nice conversation. Thank you.
So, with thanks to Mark Linster of EnterpriseDB there. And I hope you can join me again next time Tech Means Business.